Go.
What are you doing?
Shalom aleichem. How are you? Says in the Gemara, Chulin 139b. Haman min Torah minayin. Where do we find Haman in the Torah? I love this question because it's telling us a very important idea that everything's in the Torah. Purim isn't a Torah festival; it's a rabbinic festival. But we're assuming that everything is in the Torah. The Torah is the cosmic blueprint of all reality. The whole of creation is a projection of Torah. Haman min haTorah minayin. So this doesn't only mean where do we get a hint to Haman in the Torah. It's saying the idea of Haman, what Haman represents, this whole attribute, this whole quality of Haman in our life, min haTorah minayin. Where do we find that in the Torah? Pardon? In Bereshit. It says in Bereshit, Hashem says to Adam, Hamina eitz asher tziviticha levilti achal mimeno achalta? Hey, Adam, did you eat from the fruit of the tree I told you not to eat from? So Hashem sees Adam, and what actually is happening is they did the chet. Hashem says to Adam and Eve, I want you to eat from all the fruits of all the trees of the garden. I want you to enjoy this world. I gave you taste buds and I gave you fruit. I want you to enjoy the world, but as a way to connect to me. Because the whole purpose of life is to connect to me. That's what you're doing here. But there's one tree you can't eat from. Eitz das tov v'ra, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't want you to eat from that. And there's many reasons behind that. But one of them is, I just want to teach you some self-control. Because if you end up eating from that one, you're going against the purpose of creation. Because the purpose of creation is to enjoy the world in order to connect to me. However, you're now enjoying the world in a selfish, consumerist way, and you're actually disconnecting from me. So don't do that. And that's exactly what they did. And we have to understand that Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, when they were created, were just divine, radiant beings of godly light. Just souls. They were neshamas, pure, shining, holy, sweet, powerful, loving, conscious, joyful neshamas. That's what they were. So much so, apparently, the angels bowed down to them. The angels thought they were Hashem. They were spirit, completely spiritual beings. And they were just meant to remain in that state. And then we had what happened. What happened? The nachash, the snake. Evil, this force of evil, of negativity, of doubt, of judgment, of analysis, this external force, by the way. The snake was not part of them. The snake was an external force. And the snake came along just to challenge them, to give them the opportunity to choose godliness, to grow, to invest in the relationship, to earn the relationship with Hashem. And that was the whole purpose of the snake, to help them connect to Hashem. But then the snake says to them, says to Chava, Chava, you know why Hashem doesn't want you to eat from this fruit? Because if you eat it, you will be ke'elokim. You're going to be like Hashem. The snake, very, very cunning. What Chava should have said to the snake straight away was, it's okay, I'm already like Hashem. I'm a chelek elokam ima mamish. I'm a radiant being of God-conscious light. I'm a finite aspect of infinite consciousness. That's who I am. Thank you so much for the temptation. You now gave me the opportunity to overcome the temptation and just manifest my essential godly potential. Thank you so much. But she didn't. And then she got ego. Hey, I want to be like Hashem. I want to be like Hashem. Distance. That's immediate distance. That should have pushed her closer. The Yetzer Hara, the evil voice within our head, is actually meant to bring us closer to Hashem, is to help us grow and to help us build. But she listened to it, and she made a mistake, and she had a bit of ego, edging God out. It's me. Ego means I have a sense of self separate from God consciousness. My body, by the way, that's why they were given kotanet or afterwards. Hashem clothed them. And or means light, and it also means skin. So before the chet, before the sin, they were just shining beings of radiant light. And afterwards, they got the or to turned into Or. Or means skin. They got physical. They became more physical, and that's why suddenly they realized, oh, we're naked. So suddenly they fell from this very, very high level of God consciousness. And do you know what they did? They went and hid in the garden. That's crazy. Went and hid in the garden. They know that you can't hide from Hashem. Hashem's everywhere, but not in a fearful way. Not in a fearful way, oh no, Hashem's going to get us. That was a bigger mistake. Not just thinking that there's a place I can go where Hashem doesn't see me, so I'll hide. That's a mistake. But to have fear, to be like, oh no, Hashem's going to punish me. It's not like that. Hashem sees everything we do because he loves us. We're his kids. I know. They listened to the serpent.
No. So they were like, oh, so they didn't think Hashem
could do anything. No, the serpent told them that you will be like God, but it was a lie. The no, opposite, how when they ate from the...
That's what they believe.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, that's why they didn't... We can't
hide,
we won't see
us
because we're like him.
I think once they ate it, they realized they ate it and they're even less like him now and they were embarrassed.
That I don't know. Yeah. The
ego can... Oh, yeah, I know. So maybe they did. But maybe if they felt that, they would have just said, say Hashem, they wouldn't have hidden at all. Maybe. There's lots of different Perushim commentaries. Yeah. So Hashem says to them, do you know what Hashem says to them? Ayeka, where are you? What do you mean, where are you? Hashem knows exactly where they are. Hashem's everywhere. Hashem is everything. Quantum mechanics, quantum physics has now come to prove us. It's all just consciousness. We're living in a simulation. This is made up of consciousness. It's all God. It's all God. Everything's God. But God says, Ayeka, what is God really saying? Two things. Number one, where are you spiritually? Where have you fallen to? But secondly, Hashem is saying, if this is how you want to relate to me, that I can't see you, then I'll relate to you like that as well. It's up to you. If you want to have a close, conscious relationship with me, we do. And if you want to play all these, like, I can't see you games, then I'll be like, okay, Ayeka, where are you? And then he says, Hamin, Hamin Ha'etz, Hamin Ha'etz. Did you eat from that tree? And the word Hamin is the word Haman. Haman, that's where we find Haman in the Torah. Haman is this force of the tree. It is the force. And what is the tree? What is the Eitz Das Tovara? Judgment. This is good. This is bad. I like this. I don't like that. I like them. I don't like me. It's their fault. It's my fault. It's complete over-analyzing things. It's complete confusion. It's complete mental fear, hatred, doubt, jealousy, worry. In fact, Haman is from Amalek. And Amalek is the gematria, the numerical value of suffix, which means doubt. It puts doubt in your mind. Is there a God? Can I be like God? What's right? What's wrong? Now, in general, by the way, I used to ask the question. God says, don't eat from the Eitz Das Tovara. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why not? Surely the beginning of all personal and spiritual growth is knowing what's good and what's bad. Surely I should know that. That's a very important thing to know the difference between good and bad, to have judgment. I can choose. These are good things. It's about things. The first thing we say in the morning, one of the first brachas is, Baruch Ata Hashem, Kenin Baruch Alam, Anotein Nesech Vi Vina Lavchin Ben Yom Ben Laila. Hashem, you gave my heart the understanding to know between good and bad, Yom and Laila, light and dark. It's good to know the difference. So what's wrong with that? In fact, this idea, is actually the highest level. That means intimate connection. Intimate awareness. The first time Adam is intimate with his wife, Chava, it says, "V'ha'adam yada et Chava ishto." The word for physical intimacy between husband and wife is das. Das is very good. The whole, we're going to see in Pesach is all about das. Leaving Egypt is all about das. Understanding Hashem, knowing Hashem. The Rambam says you have to know Hashem. You have to have das. It's very important. Das is very important. At the end of days, it's all going to be about knowing Hashem. Dea et Hashem is going to cover the whole world, all over the place. So we want das. Das is very good. We want intimate connection. However, whenever there's something good and positive and holy, it could be completely abused and misused. So you can have das, intimate connection, to something not good. And that's what Hashem didn't want. You're not meant to have das tov vara. You're meant to have das tov. You're meant to be intimately connected to good. You're not meant to have das ra. You're not meant to be intimately connected to evil. You're not meant to be experiencing and be aware of evil as part of yourself. Da ra, evil, is meant to be an external force. The snake is meant to be outside of you. Lots of our sages teach us that when they ate from the fruit, what really happened? Firstly, consumerism, the downfall of humankind, just selfish pleasure-taking of all sorts, money and social media and intimacy and food. I just want pleasure for pleasure's sake. That's the first thing that happened. And then they have craving, and that's cutting them off. But what they really did was they consumed the evil. They integrated and internalized the voice of the snake. So what happened was the snake voice, the external evil, the Yetzirah, the Satan, the dark side, became part of them. They internalized it, and then it starts speaking in your own voice. So now you've got a voice in your head, like a snake voice, saying, oh, you're not good enough, I can't do this, it's my fault, it's their fault. That's the internalized snake voice. And it becomes part of you, and then you've fallen now. You have das tovara, you have this two sides of you, yetzahara, yetzatov, it's all part of me, I'm part good, I'm part bad. And then you've fallen from that state. So das used in the wrong way is very, very bad. You don't want to be intimately connected to things that are not good for you. So we always see this in Jewish teachings, that the highest thing, the most holy thing, could be the most abused thing. Once again, intimacy, food, money. I lived in Asia for 6 years. I was a Buddhist monk and I did martial arts. I got a black belt, taekwondo, brown belt in aikido, did lots of silent 10-day meditation retreats. So I lived that whole life for 6 years. And their path of spirituality is complete disconnection from the world. Complete, I'm going to sit in the cave, I'm not going to get married, I'm not going to touch money, not going to eat after 11 o'clock in the morning. It's actually really good, by the way. And the Western world where I grew up is all eat all you like, smoke what you like, be with who you can. Like, it's all about that. So Judaism says, no, there is a balance. This is why Israel's in the middle of the East and the West. There's spirituality within the physicality. You can be intimate, but just with the right intention, at the right time, with the right person, for the right reason. You can have money, just give 10-20% away to charity, it's not even yours. You can eat nice food, just make sure it's kosher, say a bracha before, bracha after. There's this beautiful balance. So there is a way to do things. But something very, very, very holy can be very, very low. And this is where Purim comes in to fix the whole problem. Unfortunately, however, because Purim, according to our Kabbalistic masters, is the holiest day of the year, and we're going to speak about that in a minute, it can be also the most disgusting, abused, and misused day of the year. Most people, when they think Purim, they're like, frat party! Chug, 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 chug! Purim! And they dress up, and you see the girls dress up with like devil ears and bunny ears. Frat party! Purim Shemaya! Complete abuse and misuse of the holiest day of the year. But it has to be like that. Because the holiest must be the most disgusting as well. That's what makes it holy. If you can do something that could be the most disgusting thing in a conscious way, it becomes much more holy. This is why our sages actually teach us that Yom Kippur, everyone thinks that's the holiest day of the year. In the Torah, it's called Yom Kippurim, actually. So our Kabbalistic sages teach us that Yom Kippur, that you think is the holiest day in the world, is Yom Kippurim. It's a day like Purim. Kippur means like. Kur means like, which means Purim's not as holy. I mean, Yom Kippur's not as holy as Purim. Yom Kippur's like, but we're trying to be like Purim. We have that. Why is this, by the way? On Yom Kippur, do you know what you're doing? You're being an angel. You're wearing white. You're in shul all day. You're just praying all day. You're fasting. Angels don't eat. You're fasting, and you're not eating. You're not drinking. You're just sitting there praying. I don't speak to others. I do a tiny debo. I don't speak to people. I just get into a very, very lofty, holy space of spiritual connection. So that's the highest it can be, correct? Answer, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because in some way it's easy to be spiritual when you're disconnected. It's easy to overcome your ego when you're sitting in a cave in northern India. I did it for a long time. Didn't overcome my ego, but I sat in caves. When there's no one around to annoy you, it's very easy to be a tzaddik. In fact, I would be a complete tzaddik right now if it wasn't for you guys. You get in my way. Pardon? Oh, I certainly do, yeah.
And if you can't be annoyed by people,
you fix your
problem.
Beautiful. What's your name? This holy Jewish woman has said a very important thing. It's one thing to overcome your ego when you're in a mountain and no one's annoying you, but can you do it when you're at work and with your spouse and with your children and you have to pay the rent? And can you overcome your ego when it's being tested? That's a much higher level. Can you be spiritual within the physical? It's a much higher level. This is why Purim is higher than Yom Kippur. Because on Purim, we're doing the same thing as we're doing on Yom Kippur. But whilst we're eating and drinking and people are dressed up and just partying and the kids are running all over the place and your students are vomiting all over the place. Can you maintain your peace of mind and your godliness in the middle of the balagan? Oh, very, 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 very high level. So it's always, this is what we're trying to do. And the whole purpose of life after the sin was to return to this place, but within the world. Return to Gan Eden, return to this paradise, but whilst we're in the world, whilst we're working, we've got stuff to do. That's how we progress. Do you know what the word for to progress, to move forward is in Hebrew? Lihit Kadem. Lihit Kadem means to move forward, to progress. Kadima! Let's go! Kadima! You know what the root of the word lihit kadem is? The shoresh is kodem. What does kodem mean? Before. How can the root of the word, which means to progress and go forward, be before? Because that's what Judaism says. We're moving forward and forward and forward and forward back to how we were originally in Gan Eden. That is what progression means. We've fallen so far. We got it. And that's why repentance is called tshuva. Tshuva doesn't mean I'm beating myself up. Tshuva is I'm returning. I'm returning to that place. So that's what we're trying to do all the time. So we've got these two powers within us. We have the power of spiritual presence. We have this power of complete spiritual presence, connection to infinite consciousness. And we have this power of judgment, evil, doubt, fear. So Purim has come to basically fix that whole situation. So now what we're going to do is I'm going to go through what we're doing during the day and how it fits into that. Because people think, I'm just going to get dressed up and get wasted and do some mitzvahs. But every single thing in Judaism, and you really need to understand this very deeply, every single thing in Judaism has a deep meaning. There's nothing that's just, oh, it's a meaningless ritual. Or we do it just because they used to do it. Tradition! Tradition! Why are you doing all of this? I have no idea. Tradition. Very anti-Semitic. Very not Jewish, that film. It is tradition. It's Masorah. Masorah means I'm handing you over some deep wisdom. There's a deep idea behind everything we're doing. Let's go through the day. There are five main things we're doing. Number one thing, dressing up. We tend to dress up. Now, Halloween, you dress up as something evil, darkness. And you go around trick-or-treat taking stuff. Halloween's all about darkness and ego. And then party. Purim's the opposite. Purim's about dressing up as goodness. So you see all the kids, they're walking around, they're dressing up as Esther and Mordechai and Moshe Rabbeinu as Tzaddikim. They're dressing up as that deep, pure place within themselves. Do you know what the word is for to dress up in Hebrew? Lehit chapes. Lehit chapes, tachboshet is a costume. What does the word lehit chapes actually, it means to dress up. What? Chipus, lechapes means to search, to look. And lehit is reflexive. Lehit kaleach is to wash yourself. Lehit labesh is to dress yourself. Lehit palel, which means to pray, really means to connect to yourself. So lehit chapes means to dress up, but it really means to look for yourself. That's what I'm doing. When I'm dressing up, I'm looking for my real self. Because do you know what happens? You think you're getting dressed up on Purim. You're not. Well, you are, but you're getting dressed up every day. You're the cool one. You're the funny one. You're the religious one. You're the sporty one. You're the spiritual one. You're the intelligent one. We've all got such big personas. You're walking around with a big persona the whole time. Especially social media now. There's very, very few people who have any connection to their deeper self. I you know what the truth is? I don't think people know who they are at all. This is me. Is that? What is, where? So you have to understand, you're basically embarrassed to be yourself. You're embarrassed to be vulnerable. You're worried what people think about you the whole time. I actually gave a separate class. I just got a, it was a funny line that came out. I gave a class about self-esteem, a very important class. And I said, it was like 50 girls, and I said to them, you're so worried what other people are thinking about you. But you don't need to worry, because the truth is they're not thinking about you, they're thinking about themselves. Everyone's thinking about themselves the whole time, so you don't need to worry what people think about you. And how do I know that's true, and how do you know that's true? Because you're thinking about yourself. So when we dress up on Purim, we're making fun of ourselves. We're making fun of who we're dressing up as all the time. And really the plan is, can once we take off our masks at the end of Purim, our physical masks, can we take off our masks as well? Can we take off our external? It's all of Amalek, Haman, evil is all about externality. I'm going to judge you by your body and your clothes and your cars and how good your Devar Torah is, and when you get more from how well your challah came out and what yeshiva your kids go to. So it's, Judaism is all about panimiyot. Panimiyot means to find the inner, pure, radiant God consciousness being that you really are. And it's so covered up, it's so hidden. You know, the Rebbe of Lubavitch said, you know why we dress up on Purim? To teach you never to judge a Jew on the external thing. Don't judge anyone. If that person gets very angry, you can't judge them. You don't know what they went through in their life, what abuse, what trauma they go through. See through them. Anyone who has anger, jealousy, doubt, fear, it's not who they are. Just like you kind of hopefully disown yours and say, it's not really who I am, I'm just hurt. So you've got to see other Jews that way. So walk around on Purim and look through the externals at all these Jewish people. One thing that people dress up as, especially the kids, is the Leitzan. You know what a Leitzan is? Leitzan is a clown. And once again, wow, this is cool. Once again, Judaism teaches that a Leitzan is the highest and the lowest. Leitzanut, clowning, can be the highest thing. The Gemara actually says that someone who is a clown, but to make people happy and bring the simcha and the joy out of them, they've definitely got a place in the Olam Haba, in the world to come. But there's something called leitzanut, which is frivolity and teasing and making a mockery of things. So we've got to be very, very careful what sort of leitz are we. A positive leitz, a positive mockery, is actually making a mockery of the Yetzahara, of Amalek, of darkness. The more significant you make your Yetzahara, the stronger it becomes. So if your Yetzahara says, I'm not good enough, and you're like, oh, I'm just not good enough, it's terrible, I'm so... You're just building it and making it stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. If you can just say to your Yetzirah, and this is the key way to beat the negative voices in your head, don't fight them, don't push them away, just say, hey, thanks for coming. I love you, you're cool. Because I see through you too. I see through all my negative voices and my critical voices. It's the pain I felt as a child when something happened. I see through it all. And really, I see the hurt child in your spouse, in your kids, in your friends, when they say something not nice. It's a hurt child in there. You want to see through it. You want to make fun of your Yetzirah. The Pir Zetzner Rebbe famously said, and he was the rabbi of the Warsaw Ghetto. This was the worst conditions any humans have ever really lived in. And he was talking about Emuna and finding Hashem in everything. And he says he's very upset because lots of Jewish educators teach that the Yetzirah is a very, very big, huge, dangerous, powerful monster. And it's going to get you, and you've got to do everything you can to fight the Yetzirah. And he said, I'm very upset with that. Because you're making it big. By approaching it like that, you're giving it so much strength. And he brings a midrash. There's a famous midrash that says the Yetzirah is like a highway robber. So he's sitting on the highway, you're walking down the highway, and he comes up to you and he says, give me your money. And you're like, oh, highway robber, take my money. But then one day someone comes along and the highway robber says, give me your money. And he actually takes a look and he sees, and he's like, this is a very, 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 very old man, very weak and has no weapons. And you're like, no, that's it. The Yetzirah seems scary because it's a highway robber. Of course a highway robber's scary. I've got to give it a mind. But if you actually look a little bit deeper, you're not scary at all. It's not scary at all. It's a snake. It's like... By the way, this is why Moshe, in the desert, they had a problem with snakes. So Moshe took a snake and he put it on a tall pole. this very, very tall pole, and you put a snake on top of the tall pole, and that stopped all the spiritual problems in the desert. So our sages teach us, what did he do? The Yetzirah is a snake, and the snake likes to crawl around in the grass and try and bite you and get you. Why don't you just stick it on a pole and say, ha-ha, I see you. This took away its power. It's like a bully. If there's a bully and it's putting you down all the time, and you let him put you down, it gives him power. If you just look at the bully and says, I love you, man, it's okay. My daughter, my favorite story. A girl said to my daughter, I don't like you. Yeah, kill that guy. I don't like you. This is when my daughter was about 7 or 8. And my daughter said, that's okay, I like you. That's it. I don't need to take on your negativity. So there's a type of leitzanot, a clowning, which is just make fun of your own negative voice. Don't repress your emotions. Cry if you need to cry. That's okay. But don't take that voice so seriously. But there's a negative side. Rabbi Aaron Cutler says, what is a leitz? A leitz is someone who finds the dark in the beautiful. He takes anything that's beautiful and says, yeah, but there's that one thing, and just ruins the whole thing. If you get a kid and it's got a perfect mango, but there's one little spot outside, the kid is like, ah! That's what the Yetzirah does. That's what the Yetzirah does. Completely destroys everything. Just I'm going to find the bad in the good. That's what the leitz is. Find the bad, tease it, put it down. Someone's saying something important, and there'll be a guy in the audience who says a little thing, just a little put it down. This is what Amalek does, by the way. Amalek just comes and tries to take. It says, Asher karcha baderech. What does Asher karcha? Amalek, it says, they came upon you on the road. Karcha means, it comes from the word cold. They made you cold. They just made you cold. We were passionate. We left Egypt, and we were going to Israel, and we were very passionate, and they made us cold. They cooled us down. You know, our Judaism's cold. Our relationships are cold. Our mincha's cold. Our putting on our tefillin's cold. You're meant to put on tefillin with the fire. Eish ha-Torah. With the fire of Torah, you're meant to be having passionate relationships with your spouses and your friends and your family. We're meant to live with a passionate fire. Amalek comes and just calls you down a little bit, finds that one little spot. By the way, that's in why we left Egypt. When we left Egypt, there's this big thing. It says, and the dogs didn't bark. It's like, who cares? Let them bark. I don't care. We're leaving Egypt. We've been slaves for 210 years. We're finally leaving Egypt. We're going to get the Torah. We're going to be free. We're going to be in Israel, the Holy Land. And the dogs didn't bark. Who cares? But this is the point, because if the dogs did bark, there'd be one person being like, yeah, but the dogs barked. It's like, what do you mean? You just got out of Egypt. We're free, we're slaves. Yeah, but the dogs barked. Could have been better. It's like, come on, man. So there are those people in the world who can always manage to find the bad. You can always find the bad. Every cloud has a silver lining. What would the opposite of that be? Every bad thing, every good thing has a black lining. Whatever it is. I'll think about that one more, but you get the idea. So you out, and this goes exactly the opposite. Rabbi Nachman famously teaches Nakuda Tava. You always got to zoom in, find the Nakuda Tava, which means the good part. Find that good. Everything's got something good. Find that good thing. I had a son born 3 months early, respirator, incubator, weighed 2 pounds. Didn't look very good. But because of that, my father started putting on tefillin. People started, that's good. That's good. He's doing fine now. Dressing up as a policeman. There's always good. The first thing you need to do in your life is find the Nakuda Tova in yourself. Even the worst person, however bad you think you are, there's something good, however bad. And then, once you can find the good in yourselves, as it says, you should love others, you should love yourself, which means you should love yourself first, then just look for the good in other people. Find the most annoying, horrible person in your life and find something good. Just look for it. There is something good. They said one nice thing. Fine. And by the way, if you zoom in on that one good thing, you start to like them more, because your consciousness, whatever becomes the object of your consciousness, that becomes your experience. So if you're focusing on all the bad and ignoring the good, this is why people fall out of love. Because when they're dating, it's all the good stuff. I see all the good things. Okay, he chews funnily, but it's fine. Once you get married, it's suddenly like, I can't believe it's true like that. Suddenly it's like, oh, so you don't fall out of love, you just shift what you're focusing on. When it's all romantic at the beginning, you're focusing on all the good and you ignore the bad. And when you're married for a few years, you're like, oh, but it's all bad. And so you've got to choose in your own life, what are you focusing on? Amalek, Haman, evil, snake, is trying to get you to see everything bad. Although you can always find something bad. I used to run these trips to Thailand and India, and we did volunteering in orphanages and meditation, and there was always some days that just went really badly. The bus didn't run, the orphanage was closed, it was pouring with rain, we didn't have enough food, and we'd be sitting in a little hut in the forest on the side of the road, and no food, no, nothing. And then, but one person on the trip would say, hold on, we're in Thailand, it's raining, it's warm rain, let's just go and dance in the rain. It was always me, but I was running the trip, I had to make it. And let's go and dance in the rain. And we'd take off our shoes, we'd put on music, we had a speaker, put on music, and have an amazing dance party in the rain with no shoes on in a rainforest in Thailand. That's a great thing. There were always people on the trip where everything was good. It was perfect weather. Or volunteering was great. We had amazing Thai, kosher Thai food. But there's a cockroach in my room. Okay. I want an authentic experience of Thailand, just with no mosquitoes or cockroaches. Again. So if you focus on the cockroach in your room, then you miss all the beautiful stuff going on around you. But if you've got bad stuff going on around you, but you focus on the one good thing, so that's what Haman's trying to do. We're trying to do the opposite. We're trying to focus. So that's what we're going to be doing on Purim. You're going to go around and you're going to focus on the good in other people all the time, as much as you can, focus on them. That's why the main mitzvahs of Purim is not drinking. The two main mitzvahs of Purim really are both acts of giving. It's called Mishloach Manot and Matanat Levyonim. Acts of giving. Not acts of taking, what's in it for me, my right, it's all about me. Is I just want to give. Firstly, I have so much to give. But secondly, I just want to give. When I went to these orphanages, I worked in Sri Lanka and India in orphanages. They had polio, very little food. I realized, firstly, how much I have. But secondly, how much I have to give. And that's just physically, materially. But Judaism teaches that you're a radiant being of infinite divine light. That's who you are. That's where your vitality comes from. And the neshamas, souls, they just want to give. Souls are full of love. And how is love expressed? Love expressed by giving. You give to people you love. You build love through giving to other people. Even giving words, giving time. I'm not saying giving gifts. So if you really do the whole work of Purim and the whole work of your life, which is to reveal the what's hidden within you, your soul, reveal that, then you, of course I want to give. I don't want to take. I don't know. I'm fine. Now your ego and your body wants to take the whole time. Your ego is lacking. So when you feel lacking, you need to take. I need power. I need love. I need people to like me. I need more stuff. And your body is lacking. So I need more food, more stuff. I need... If I have more, then I'd be happy. The more I get, the happier I'll be. That's why no one's ever happy. That's why the orphans in Sri Lanka are happier than you. Not you. Us. Not us. Some people. Why? Because they aren't thinking the whole time, my happiness depends on getting a better car, a better phone, a better something. Hasameh b'chelko. As it says in Pirkei Avot, they're just happy with their life. I'm okay. Now, once you tap into your soul isn't lacking. Your soul is just full of love and radiant glory. So of course you want to give. I want to give to people. Take it, take it. So Matanat Levyanim is gifts to the poor is the most important mitzvah of Purim. Forget dressing up. Forget your big meal and your fancy that. Give lots of money away. And people say you should give a bit more than you can. Why are you meant to get a little bit drunk? I'm just making this up on the spot. But I think this is true. So that you give away more money than you really can. I really think there's something to that. I bet someone must have said that at some point. Give away a little bit. At least, by the way, work out how much money you're spending on your clothes and your food and your mishloach manah and everything else and give at least that amount of money to other people. I walk around. I've got this big Spider-Man Bekesha, big pockets, and I fill up all my pockets, 20s, 50s, 10s, 5s, 2s, and 1s. And I'm walking around, and whoever comes up to me, I'm like, go, go. I remember one year, for some reason, it was a bit late and there was no one to give money to. And I was like, there's no one to give to. I just want to give to someone. So we just got to be prepared. It actually says in the Shulchan Aruch, the foundational book of Jewish law, that you shouldn't be medakdek. You shouldn't say, does he deserve it? Does he need it? Sometimes we should, by the way, but on Purim, you just give. And it says, kol ha-poshet yado, I think everyone who sticks out their hand to get, not nimlo, give. anyone who asks you for something, my mum actually used to say, if any beggars come to the door, don't start thinking, do they deserve it or not? Because if they're in that state that they're going around begging at the door, then just give to them, because you're not doing that. So don't judge them. So it says, Kol ha'poshet yad, not nimlo. Anyone who sticks out their hand, you should give to them. From this, our sages actually teach us that Purim is the highest and holiest day of the year to pray, because Hashem keeps all the mitzvahs as well. So if Hashem keeps the mitzvahs and the mitzvah says, Kol ha'poshet yad, not nimlo, anyone who sticks out their hand, you've got to give to them, then if we stick out our hand to Hashem, Hashem's got to give to us. So what the Yetzer Hara does is he makes you so busy with partying that you forget to pray. So by the way, the partying is in the daytime. So if you're outside of Jerusalem, that's going to be on Sunday. If you're inside Jerusalem, that's going to be on Monday. The nighttime of Purim is the key time to pray. I have a gathering at my house. It's going to be a shul near my house this year, where we just sit, no alcohol in the night, and we just say the whole book of Tehillim. We split up Tehillim. We say, this year, if anyone wants to come, by the way, it's going to be in Nachla. We're going to say the whole book of Tehillim, hopefully several times for the soldiers and the hostages and our brothers. We're here. We're a nation. Let's actually use this powerful. And you also got to understand, when I just said to you that Kol ha'poshet yad nat nimlo, anyone who sticks out their hand, Hashem gives to them, did you immediately think, yeah, I can get everything I want? Yeah. Probably did, because you're human. But if you were tapping into your neshama, you were like, yes, I can daven for a husband for that person. I can daven for something for that. Amazing. Because I'm okay. Yes, there are things I want. You're allowed to pray for yourself, by the way. Don't feel guilty for praying for yourself. But 90% of your prayer all the time should be for other people. You're okay, because the more okay you are, the better you are. Some of our Hasidic masters say, Kol ha'poshet yad, anyone who sticks out their hand, you can also say it, Kol ha'pashut yid. Pashut yid means a simple Jew. Pashut means simple Jew. Anyone who's just a simple Jew. Not all this Amalek, Haman, judging, doubting, fearing. Just be a simple Jew. Just be a nice, loving, sweet, simple Jew. Kol ha'pashut yid, anyone who's just a simple Jew, not nimlo, Hashem will give them, but what will Hashem give them? Him, relationship, connection to Hashem, because that's the whole purpose of everything. Then, not only the poor people, and the Rambam says there is no greater simcha than feeding poor and needy people. That is the greatest simcha. Why? Because that's where the Shekhinah is. The Shekhinah is God's divine presence. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what Purim is. On Yom Kippur, we're going up to God. So that's very holy. Why is Purim holier than Yom Kippur? Because we're bringing God down to us. We're making a space for God within the physical world. That's why all the parshas in the Torah we're reading at the moment about building the Mishkan. The Mishkan, the tabernacle, whatever that is, the Mishkan comes from the word Shechina. Shechain. Shechain means to live, to dwell. Your neighborhood is called a Shechuna. So what we're trying to do is bring godliness into the world. And you know what else all these parshas are speaking about? Big Day Kahuna, the clothes of the Kohanim. That's dressing up. This is also where Purim's in the Torah. Always around the time of Purim, we're talking about building a space for Hashem in the world, Purim, and the dressing up. The Kohanim are all dressing up because we're meant to feel like Kohanim. We're meant to feel like the priests. We're meant to feel like the closest connection we can possibly to God. And then, how long do we have? 15 minutes. I don't have that much to say. Great. Two more. Sorry, then we have Mishloach Manas. Sending gifts to your friends, not poor people, although most of my friends are poor people. Gifts, friends, friendship. The whole of Purim is really about Achdut, unity amongst the Jewish people. If we're not unified, then we get attacked, as unfortunately we saw. The whole problem of the Jewish people, and you know who tells us this secret, is Haman. Haman says, Yesh no am echad, says to the king, there is this one nation, Mufuzal, Mufarad, they're spread out, but he told the secret, we're still one nation. When we can be one nation, when we can love each other, no matter what kippah we wear, or if we wear a kippah, or what shul we go to, one of the greatest things that when I started becoming religious when I was 29, came to yeshiva, one of my rabbis said to me, I just want you to know, if you become religious, and then you start putting down other Jews, Reform, progressive, conservative. You didn't become religious, you became self-righteous. Because the closer you are to God, and the closer you are to Torah, and the closer you are to your soul, the more you just love people. I don't care. You're an atheist, great, be an atheist. I just love you. I just value you as a human being because I see through all of that. Just because we don't share the same beliefs and values and practices, unless they're evil, that you're allowed to hate evil stuff. But in general, just because someone doesn't believe or do things in exactly the same way as you, doesn't mean we put them down and hate them. Mishloach manis is to show achdus. With friends. So I give to my really close friends. It's really nice. And what's actually even a bit more important is the card. Card's always more important. Just say something real. Don't only give them 2 items of food, but give them love. Give them self-esteem. Give them compliments. Give them their soul back. Give them connection. Give them something. But we're also told, and this is a little bit tricky, that we should also give to people who we have a little bit of a issue with. That person that we don't like so much, they're annoying us a little bit. Not necessarily we haven't spoken to them for 10 years, but that would be very good. But just that person. It makes it very tricky because if you give to someone, they'll be like, oh, you hate me. But there's this idea of get over your judgments. Okay, whatever you're arguing about is probably not worth it. When you're 95, you're going to look back on your life and you're going to think probably 95% of the stuff I got upset about wasn't worth getting upset about. So try and get over it. This is, I think, one of the other reasons we drink. Because sometimes when you drink, you just let go. You're just like, oh, it's okay, whatever. When you're really in a state of simcha, and simcha doesn't mean I feel good because things are going my way. Simcha means connection to neshama, soul, because your soul is naturally joyful. Your natural state of being is joy. Your soul is joy. We see that with children. Babies are just happy until they feel hungry, and then you give them a bottle, they're happy. Something in their diaper, cry, change, happy. So your natural state of being is happiness. The only thing that gets in the way of your soul's happiness is your mind's stuff. Your mind messes up your happiness. I run an online meditation and mindfulness course. And I give this example that I'm from London. How many days a year does the sun shine over the streets of London? So everyone says 1 day, 60 days. The truth is, it shines 365 days a year. It's just on 358 days. You can't see it because the clouds are in the way. So your neshama is always shining. Your neshama is always happy. Your neshama is always loving. Your neshama is always conscious. Your neshama always wants to give. It's just your mind is in the way. Your ego is in the way. Haman's in the way. That's what Amalek, that's what the snake did. You know, this is a very important point, by the way. When we're dressing up and we're talking about the externals, and I told you about your persona, the ultimate external is your Yetzirah. What do I mean by that? You think your Yetzirah is in you, it's panimi, it's part of who I am. It's part of me. I have a good side and a bad side. Judaism says absolutely not. It's completely external. It's acting in you, but it's not you. You just have to completely disown it. So any negativity in you, we're not repressing, we're doing the opposite. We're saying, I see you, I'm not engaging. It's not me. It's just not me. It wasn't me. Not me. So you've got to start externalizing the snake voice again. You've internalized it and you say, I'm so bad for having this voice. What's wrong with me? You start externalizing it and saying, you know what? That's not me. That's the snake. It's like if someone got a disease. The disease is in you and the disease is affecting you, but it's not you. No one says, this is who I am. It's a part of me. You try and heal the disease. Your Yetzirah is the same thing. It's in you. It's affecting you, but it doesn't mean that is you. It's not even part of you. You say, it's not. You're a snake. Go away. Snakey, very important. So Mishloach Manos now. So we're going to give to people we don't love so much and just try and fix that. Because once we're in a state of simcha, we can forgive people. I've forgotten who said it. A very good example. Let's say that there's a person. We've got a wedding tonight here. So let's say there's one guy in the yeshiva that you don't like. Or one person, someone you don't like. They're not horrible. They're not evil. They didn't do anything wrong to you. You just find them annoying. They're just an annoying person. You just don't. Now, let's say it's your wedding day. And you're in the middle of your wedding and you're dancing. And then that guy comes in. How do you feel towards him at that moment? You love them. You're just like, oh, yeah, forget it. You're my best friend. Now, suddenly, you're your best friend. Why? Because from a place of simcha, from a place of soul, from a place of consciousness, you don't hate people. The only reason you hate people is because you have an ego. Someone with no ego doesn't hate people. If people are not nice, they kind of love them. I want to help them. I really want to be there. So the only reason people annoy you and upset you and everything is because you've got your own stuff going on. because you want it to be your way. It has to go. Things have to go my way. When things don't go my way, then I get upset. There's a much higher level called neshama, where you don't have my way. It's Hashem's way, so you can never get upset. When you don't have your way, when I don't have a my way, then I can never get upset because things can never not go my way because I don't have a my way, I have a Hashem's way. Yeah. Which is a very important lesson for Purim, because it won't go your way. Never. Purim's a mess. The people I invite don't come. The people I do invite don't invite. They do come. We say we're starting at 1. We start at 8. We've got this food. But that's part of what Purim is. Just let go. It's okay. Chill out. Fine. Don't need it to be a certain way. I need it to be this way for me to enjoy it, for me to be okay. I need people to respect me for me to feel good about myself. I need recognition. Stop needing all that stuff. You're okay. You're a radiant being of divine light. You're just listening to the snake too much. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find that place of simcha where we can go up to the people who we have a little bit of disunity with and find unity. And even apologize, even if it's not your fault. A day to do that. Say, look, I'm really sorry about what happened between us, when it's clearly not your fault. Not from a place of weakness, by the way. It's from a place of strength. You know, I forgive you. And then there's a higher level called Emunah. I needed to go through that for whatever reason. That annoying person in your life was sent by God in order to help you become a more patient, loving, okay person. So see beyond all this external nonsense, all the fancy dress. Then we have the Megillah. We're going to read the Megillah. Megillat Esther means the scroll of Esther. Megillah means scroll, and Esther is the name of the queen. But what does the word Megillah, what's the root of the word Megillah? Megale. Megale means to reveal. And Esther, what's the Esther means? Hidden. Esther comes in the same Gemara, Chulin 139b, it says, where do we find Esther in the Torah? And it says, Hasta Asta Panai. I've hidden my face. And we see in the Megillah, there's no name of God. Hashem's name doesn't appear in the whole Megillah. Hashem's completely hidden in the Megillah. I can't see Hashem in it. Not written in the Megillah. Now, obviously, there are little hints to Hashem. Whenever the Megillah says, HaMelech Achashverosh, the King Achashverosh, let's talk about the King Achashverosh. Whenever it just says HaMelech, our sages say, it's, the simple meaning is the King Achashverosh, but it's really talking about HaMelech, the King, Hashem. And there are many different verses, Pesukim, where the first letter of the first word is a Yud, and the first letter of the second word is a Hey, and a Vav and a Hey. Hashem's name is hidden all over the whole Megillah. And that's the whole point in the Megillah. Pesach is all about open miracles, crazy sound and light shows, and splitting the seas, and blood, and that's crazy open miracles. Purim is about hidden miracles. It's all a miracle. You could look at the Purim story, and you could just say, well, it was just that. It was lucky that she became the queen. And then it was lucky that Mordechai overheard the plot to kill the king. Then it was lucky that the king woke up in the middle of the night. At some point, there's a little bit too much coincidence here for this to be coincidence. And so you see under. So our purpose is to reveal Hashem where we can't see Hashem, which is obviously the purpose of life. That's what we're doing here. Our purpose in this world is to reveal Hashem. So the world covers up Hashem. We can't see Hashem. Nature covers up Hashem. There's nature. But nature completely reveals Hashem. Everyone says, no, I can explain that naturally. There's a natural explanation. You put a seed in the ground, and then this tiny little seed sprouts, and the sprout always goes upwards, never goes downwards, always goes upwards, and somehow it pushes through the ground, the hard ground. How does it do that? And it sprouts, and this tiny little sprout turns into a huge thing of wood. And out of that huge thing of wood, how does wood come from, what is it? Sunlight, water, and minerals. How do you get a tree from sunlight, water, and minerals? And then that wood turns into a mango. You can tell I like mangoes. It turns into a mango. How does it turn into a mango? Now, some will say, well, photosynthesis. So nature covers up Hashem in that way. I can explain everything that second. By the way, you can't explain the creation of the universe naturally, or DNA, or consciousness, or the energy deficit in the universe. So we've got stuff. In general, you can explain naturally, but or you could look at a seed in a mango and just be blow your mind. That's unbelievable. You know how big a cow is from eating grass? That's psycho. Who would ever thought of that? If you ate grass, you'd just die. This thing eats grass, drinks water, and turns into this huge mammoth does come. Oh, well, I can explain it. So nature does cover up Hashem, but obviously reveals Hashem. But there's no way that could be. There's no way DNA can be. The word for nature in Hebrew, hateva, is the same numerical value as Elohim, God in the world. God, there's two main names of God, which is Hashem, Yod Heh and Vav Heh, which is God beyond time and space. Then there's Elohim, which is God within time and space, which is nature. So the numerical value of nature is the same as the numerical value of God's name in nature. It's obvious. So we're reading that. And you know what Amalek is? Amalek, this force of evil and doubt and negativity, it says in the Torah, Shekarcha Baderech. So one of the understandings is it made you cold, made your Judaism cold, made your life cold, lost your passion. But karcha comes from the word mikre, which means coincidence. Hashem karcha b'derech means Amalek comes along and says to you, nah, Hashem's not here. It's all lucky. It's just coincidence. It's just happenstance. It just happened. It was lucky. I can explain everything that happened in the Megillah. That was lucky. So Judaism says it's not coincidence. The word for coincidence in Hebrew is mikre. Mikre, Hashem karcha b'derech. But mikre, the letters of mikre, also spell, if you change them around, rak me Hashem, only from Hashem. Or if you change them around, they spell Hashem rokem, Hashem embroiders. Because this life looks like the backside of an embroidery. It's all knots, you can't get it. But at some point, when Mashiach comes, when we actually open up our consciousness, we're going to turn around the embroidery and it's going to be like, oh, it's an amazing picture! I can't believe it! That's the whole, when Yosef's brothers came, they thought he was the viceroy of Egypt, and they thought, everything's bad, we're going to be in prison, everything's terrible. Then Yosef just says, I'm Yosef. And not, they weren't just embarrassed that they didn't realize it was Yosef, they suddenly realized that they were never in trouble in the first place. It was all, so Hashem at the end of days is going to say, Ani Hashem. I'm Hashem, don't worry, it's all okay. But we've got to be able to break through that consciousness. Asher kach abederech, it's not a coincidence. How long do we have? No. Okay, so then the final thing is, there was so much more to say about that. But anyway, I clicked open, in my mind, you probably noticed, I clicked open about five different ideas and stories. I had to choose which one. Here we go. Last thing. The last thing is Mishteh. By the way, all of the mitzvahs begin with Mem. Megillah, Mishloach Manot, Matnat Yelevionim, and Mishteh. And my children says Mantakim, which means sweets as well. And Mem is 40 days up the mountain, 40 is completion. There are 40 units of water in a mikveh. There's lots of ideas about 40. But anyway, so Mem. So then we've got Mishteh. So we have this mitzvah. It says in the Gemara, Chayev inesh libusumei b'puria ad delo yada. Bein arahaman and baruch modachav. You are chayev, you are obligated to get bosemed until you lo yada, you don't know the difference between Aro Haman and Baruch Mordechai. You don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. That's weird. Are we saying that our sages say you've got to get completely wasted off your face? Because the truth is, if you get completely wasted off your face and you just throw up like out of your nose and pass out in the bath, you won't know the difference between Aro Haman and Baruch Mordechai. But that's not what it means. Ad delo yada, what does ad delo yada until you don't know? Da is the word das again. Yadiyah, to knowledge, intimate knowledge. So ad lo yada means until you go back to how it was before we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Ad lo yada, until you go above this judgmental consciousness, where there's no good and evil, because it's all actually from Hashem. Hashem's behind everything. We judge, that's good, that's bad. But in Hashem's world, it's just all good. It's all there for the good. Aro Haman is numerical value 502. Baruch Mordechai is numerical value 502. Because it's the same. When you actually look deeper into it, it's all, Einod Melvada, it's only from Hashem. Ad de lo yada. So it says, and we'll finish with this, maybe. They can get me to stop speaking. It says that, Mishnichnas Yain, when wine goes in, Yaitzi Sod, secrets come out. When wine, obviously the gematria, the numerical value of wine is 70, and the numerical value of secret is 70, because it's equal. When the wine goes in secret, so on a basic level, it's, you know that. You sit with insecure, broken people, and then they drink, and suddenly all the stuff comes down, and the inhibitions, and then they're acting like, however they're acting. If you're some like frat kid, university, what you do is you're like, oh, chug, 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 chug. So what secret's going to come out? First, arrogance, usually, yo, mama, so, yo, mo, wo, yo, FOMO, YOLO, BOBO. So first, you get your arrogance, but if you watch that college kid carry on drinking, what happens? He starts blubbering, crying his eyes out, he just his brokenness, like, no sense of the passes out on the floor, something like that. So when you drink wine, secrets come out. So what is the Torah teaching us? You have to drink wine so secrets come out, but that's a nightmare. So the Torah is teaching, what's the real secret? What's the real thing that's hidden within you? Your neshama, your soul, your consciousness. You're meant to drink so much wine that you go to a place where you're not so judgmental of yourself and other people, and then you just tap into yourself. That's your secret. So it depends how refined you are as a human being. It actually says you're not allowed to get drunk on Purim if you're going to lose self-control. You're not allowed to do it. It's very embarrassing. You see all these very religious people and they're shouting. It's terrible. So if you know that your secret is your pain and your anger, then it might be best not to drink. But if you understand deeply what is my real secret, what's really lying under there is my neshama, then you should drink to that place. And it's not a chug, 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 chug. And it's only wine, by the way. There's no other alcohol on Purim. It's not like, tequila. It's wine. Get a glass of wine. Drink like a mensch. Make a bracha. Hashem, bring Hashem into your drinking. And then do you know what happens when someone who's actually a refined human being gets drunk one day a year? They're sitting there and they're very drunk, but they're not like, they're like, I heard this unbelievable Gomorrah. And then they're just like giving brachas, but not like, I love you so much. They're like just, I actually love you so much, because what happens is it reveals your soul. It just reveals how much you love everyone, because your soul does love everyone. So I'm walking around, my daughter once said to me, I've never seen you drunk on Purim. I'm like, I drink a lot. But she thinks that drunk means an idiot. But it doesn't. Bosume, it doesn't say shikor, don't get drunk. It says you've got to get bosemed. Bosem actually comes from the word besamim, spices. You have to get spiced. That doesn't mean smoking weed, by the way. You have to get spiced on Purim. Means spice, this is what we smell when Shabbos goes out. Monsi Shabbos, we smell spices. Spices are meant to connect you to your soul. The sense of smell is the highest sense. It connects you to your soul. The word for smell in Hebrew is reach. Reach is a smell which connects you to your ruach, which is your soul. It's your spirit. So smell connects you to your spirit. It's also neshima. The word for breath is neshima, connects you to your neshama. Smell is very powerful. You should actually walk around with essential oils. I walk around with essential oils. I got my money and my like lavender oil to like chill out. And I got my like grapefruit oil to like a bit of energy. So I'm like, bosemed. I'm bosemed up. I'll finish with this almost. It says in that Gemara where it says Haman, where's Haman in the Torah? It says, where's Mordechai in the Torah? And it says, Mordraw. Mordraw is myrrh. It's a spice. It's one of the spices. Because it's a spice. And what's Esther's real name? Hadassah. And Hadassah is all about smell as well. We smell Hadass on Friday night before we make Kiddush. So it's really, the whole of Purim is about smell. Hadassah and Mordraw and Hamina Eitz. Haman comes from the Eitz. I've finished nearly. Oh yeah, I forgot.
How is Reach connected to
your soul? Ruach, Reach, Ruach. Ruach is your soul, your spirit. Because they teach us that your smell, your body doesn't necessarily like benefit from it. Your soul gets expanded with the smell. That's why I was meant to teach about 10 minutes ago. Anyway, Bezut Hashem, go into Purim very, very consciously. Understand what you're doing it, why you're doing it. It could be the most highest, God-conscious, beautiful, amazing, powerful, sweet day of your life. Bezut Hashem.
Okay, you go.
Send that to me.